Let us now come to the passage of the Gospel, which is read on Great Saturday and at the Resurrection. The Evangelist tells us there that our most holy Theotokos and Mary Magdalene came very early in the morning to the tomb of the Lord, to look upon the all-holy body of Christ and to do whatever their great love prompted them to do. At once a very great earthquake occurred, and an angel came down from heaven and rolled the stone away from the door of the tomb and sat upon it. The angel turns to the two women and says to them, "I know that you are seeking the crucified one, Jesus, the Savior, the God-man, but as you can see, he is not here in the tomb, he is risen. Go at once and tell the apostles, the disciples, that the Lord is risen and that they will see him at the mountain of Galilee." They were seized with fear and amazement, and at once they hurried away to bring this great and joyful news to the apostles, so that they too might rejoice. For they were deeply afraid and had shut themselves inside the house where they were staying, for fear of the Jews. As they were setting out, he meets them. It was Christ, and he says to them, "Rejoice, do not be afraid, only go and tell my brothers there that they will see me in Galilee." The moment they saw Christ before them, their love, their spiritual longing, they fell down, worshipped him, and took hold of his feet. Who can interpret what these two saints felt in their souls in that hour? They did not doubt at all, unlike the apostles when they first saw him as he appeared to them. The apostles saw him with joy, with the one difference that within them there was disbelief. These women knew nothing of this. They did not doubt at all, but at once poured out their love for Christ, grasping his feet and clasping them close in their embrace. They could probably not even speak a word, for they were thunderstruck. Something like this joy is what our Christ gives in these days of the resurrection to those souls that have in some way been purified in their spiritual senses from sin. Let us purify our senses, and we shall behold Christ shining forth in the unapproachable light of the resurrection. Here below, in this world, we celebrate Holy Pascha for only a very short time. This joy comes to an end, and once again the afflictions overtake us, the sorrows, the temptations, and so many other things. But there, in the other world, Pascha will be eternal, without end, without setting, never ceasing, unto the ages of ages. When our Christ comes to judge the world, and after he is seated upon the throne of glory and separates the one group from the other, the righteous from the sinners, and when he gives the final verdict that the one group ascend to heaven while the other descend into Hades, fully and forever, there will immediately follow the return of Christ, of the holy angels, and of the saints, upward. And as our Jesus goes before them, with all the souls and all the angels following him, they will all celebrate the eternal Pascha together. As they ascend, they will chant the victory hymns of the resurrection, keeping the eternal Pascha. The faces of all the souls, their whole being, will be as radiant as our Christ himself will be. Within that divine and resurrectional light, they will ascend to take possession of paradise, of the kingdom of heaven, of the heavenly Jerusalem. It is the day of resurrection. Let us be radiant, O peoples. It is the Lord's Pascha, the Pascha, and there, amid hymns of victory, singing music and rejoicing, just as God has ordained it all and formed the spiritual choir, they will all ascend together in an inconceivable celebration, so that for the first time, their souls may behold what God has prepared for those who, by his grace, have overcome the world. And as the great fathers have taught us and made known, speaking about this state, our Christ will be seated upon a throne of glory, and each order of saints will come forward to receive its corresponding reward, its crown, and its place within paradise. And when those holy souls behold that beauty, that splendor, that sweetness of the wisdom of God being revealed to them, when they see it, comprehend it, and possess it as something of their own, they will live forevermore without end. Those souls will be so overwhelmed with wonder that they will be unable to express in words or even in thoughts what God has prepared for them. How often they will say within themselves, "What did we ever offer to God? What did we ever do? In this world we sinned so greatly, we caused him such sorrow, we grieved God so deeply, and instead of punishment, he gives us this paradise." And from that time onward, the holy Pascha of the divine resurrection will never come to an end for those souls. Joy beyond all interpreting, joy unspeakable, no afflictions, no distress, no tears, no pain, no struggle. Absolutely nothing sorrowful will exist in that blessed life. Salvation is secured once and for all. There on high the festivals will be kept with the joy of heaven. Christ will be the light. His face will be that light which illumines all that spiritual world. As the fathers tell us, even the theoria alone, the very vision of the divine face, cannot be weighed against a thousand paradises. This is why every soul here below in the world that feels the love of God seeks nothing else but only to be counted worthy to see that face. Let us strive to cleanse the senses of our soul. Let us strive through nepsis, our watchfulness, not to defile them, so that we may, by the grace of God, see within our heart this light of the divine resurrection. It is not possible for the person who gives way to evil thoughts, to the logismoi, and who feels ill at ease within himself, to be able to see this light of the holy resurrection. The afflictions in this world here, compared with the reward for our pains in the other world, are not utterly insignificant, because they are only fleeting. Very quickly we depart from this world and pass over into the other. They seem to us many, very heavy, unbearable, and unending. This shows human weakness, but it also shows the devil's work, for he presents things to us in a very distorted way, so as to lead us surely into despair and hopelessness, making us think the torments will never end. And yet they do end. Many times they end within mere moments, and at once, with the closing of our eyes, there opens before us the theoria, the very reality of the spiritual world. And where before we were seeing people, suddenly, in an instant, we see spirits, whether luminous or dark, whether an angel or a demon. Death is the bridge that carries a person from this world over to the other. As soon as the eyes of the flesh close, immediately and at once the eyes of the soul open, and it beholds those things it did not see before with the eyes of the flesh. We must take up the right struggle, the right way of facing reality, that here we are only for a time and we depart forever, that here we feel Christ through the perception of our soul. There, in the world to come, if God's mercy saves us, we shall see him face to face. Blessed is the soul that struggles, that endures, and that believes unwaveringly in the existence of God, in the life to come, and in the days of grace. It feels as though it is armed with the weapons of light, with the divine eros, the burning love for God. It feels as though it stands before the throne of God, ready to give battle against those who set themselves against the one whom it worships and for whom it fights. Sometimes, too, the soul feels herself clothed like a bride of the heavenly bridegroom, adorned with the beauty of heaven, and she is seized by a love and a longing for the moment she will be united with the heavenly bridegroom forever. How beautiful it is for the Christian to feel himself a child of God, to sense God as the true and rightful father of his spirit. It is precisely then that the fear of death leaves him. Instead, he feels a wealth of trust, that his father is the judge, that his father is the one who will give him his kingdom. Then, why should he be afraid? Abba, Pambo used to say, even if heaven and earth were to collide, fear would not enter my soul. He said this because he felt the love of God. For someone to come anywhere near such a spiritual measure, he must first, here in this world and in this struggle, offer the labors undertaken for God, endure temptations and suffering, and continually humble himself, to be watchful in his life in every way. And then, at a time he does not expect, he will feel the visitation of the grace of God. Behold the work of monasticism. It takes a person from the world, full of the passions and of weaknesses, laden with sins great and small, and at the same time it works upon him in a wondrous way, and one day it presents him as a spiritual person. A person who has communion with heaven, with the love of God, with the life to come. Such a person was my blessed elder as well. Blessed in every way. In the world he did not even know God, and yet when the grace of God visited him and brought him here to the holy mountain, to the monastic life, monasticism, with its own way and its art and its science, made him in a certain manner heavenly. We are the seed of this man, so that we too may attain what he attained. As far as we are able, we too must follow in his footsteps. Let us struggle then, with all the strength of our soul. A lover of the risen one, of our Christ, moved by his love for Christ, wished to visit the Holy Land and to see and venerate the tomb of his divine beloved. And when he arrived there and saw the tomb of Christ, whom he loved so intensely, he fell upon Christ's tomb and there surrendered his blessed soul into his hands and his love. In the other world, the fathers say the love of Christ and the love that souls will feel one for another will be their very food. One soul will behold another and will feel within itself a true paradise. That is why we feel it even here, to the smallest degree, of course. When the grace of God sets the heart aflame, the spiritual person feels a boundless love toward the brethren. Within himself, he feels that he embraces everyone, brothers, friends, and enemies alike, and all of inanimate creation. And then he comes to understand why God patiently endures mankind, why he patiently endures sinners, despite all their wickedness. At that hour, whatever they do to this person, he will not be scandalized, but will only show ways of love, and this is a person who has limits. But the infinite God, with his infinite love, how could he fail to bear patiently with human beings in all their sinfulness? Let us struggle, my fathers. Let us struggle now, while we are here, to lay the foundations for heaven. For these are the things that come after death, and then it will no longer profit us at all. Let us make a beginning. Whatever conscience our inner guide tells us, let us do it. Let us not despise it. It teaches us very rightly. With conscience as our inner guide, and the written word of God as our outer guide, let us press on toward obedience. Heavenly resurrectional hymns, the gladness of those souls that succeeded, that won the prize of heaven. Blessed, and thrice blessed, is the 10th order of the angels, which is the monks who will win that place in heaven. They will behold the face of Christ unto the ages of ages. These monks who have reached the goal will chant together with the angels. They will keep festival, they will rejoice, they will bless Christ, who made this great sacrifice, who was crucified and rose again and saved humankind. Let us pray that we too, humble and least of all, may be glorified in heaven and find our place in that order of the angels, in the place once held by Lucifer, to the glory of God, to the glory of him who sacrificed himself like the spotless lamb. Let us pray that our end in this world may be Christian, painless, blameless, with a good defense, and with the finest success in that blessed world to come. From that moment on, so that, while still in this world, we may come to know the other world through the experience of our soul. This is what success in monastic life consists in, coming to know and taste the things of the other world, and reaching such love for our Christ that we long to behold his divine person, just as one soul who loved him. Into obedience. Let us follow these two guides, and they will surely and safely lead us to our Christ. And through our Christ we shall attain the holy Pascha of heaven, the eternal banquet, the eternal feast, there above, where the everlasting celebration will be held. There the angels, with all the gifts God has bestowed upon them, will play heavenly hymns of triumph.